Would you like to do some studies online? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact, name, and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on the broadcast today. We're talking about a very serious, if you please, grave subject or issue, and that is asking the question, where is the salt and light? And we're talking about Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, where the Lord Jesus, in part of his Sermon on the Mount, made the statement that ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth. We're talking about that today, and I pray that it's a blessing. I pray that you'd call in, ask your questions, give dialogue and discussion on the issue. Before we get back to that, let me remind you of a need that we have here on campus with conservative ministries. One of the things that we need, we have a major, major need today for a lady that's retired or semi-retired that has a good keyboard experience with computers and perhaps have a background with working with Adobe software, the InDesign portion that's designed for publications and for publishing. We have a goal of publishing another 6 books during the course of this year. We need somebody that can come in that's not dependent upon the task and the job as their full income, retired, semi-retired, already drawing Social Security under our retirement benefits. They could work for Jesus with a stipend that would be reasonable, somebody that would come in and type the manuscripts and do the production, the preparation for it to be uploaded to the publisher, for us to continue the faster track of what we're doing with publishing books. We have about 6 or 8 manuscripts in the process now that we're prayerful that God will let us publish them this year. If you have an interest, you meet those qualifications, call 262, that's 904-262-7777. Leave your contact information for somebody to get back with you to talk about getting a resume and perhaps an interview, seeing what God would have you to do. It is our prayer that God will speak to hearts today that we might be able to fast track some of the work that we're doing in publication. With that being said, let's get back to the issue that we're speaking about. Dr. Phelps, we talked a little earlier just briefly about the fact of salt. Salt is a preservative. And as Christians, we're to be a preservative in a decaying, darkened society. Salt also. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I've got my Bible so written up sometimes I can't read the text. But it's on the margin in my Bible on this text that we're talking about. I talked about there, salt is a cleansing agent. Salt is a curing agent. Salt is a caring agent. And I believe that's what we need to recognize. In fact, I made a little footnote to that. Salt should be something that's a truth additive. A truth additive. We need to add the truth to what we say and what we see in society. Ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. We're in a decaying society. And salt will retard the decay. Now listen, Dr. Phelps, I want our listeners to understand, salt is not going to stop the decay. Salt is not going to cure the decay. Salt is not going to keep the world from its further plummet into the total debauchery that we see it headed in. When you look at Genesis, the sixth chapter, ladies and gentlemen, you find that in the day before, the days before the flood, that God sent the flood, they were, their thoughts, their minds, the activities of the people was on constant evil, the Bible says. In the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, beginning with about the seventh, eighth, ninth verse and following. That's what the Bible tells us. It's on the left page and the left column in my Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, the fact that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. We need to take that for to be very, very serious today. And by the way, Dr. Phelps, salt that we think about today is in a shaker. And if we leave that, salt in the shaker, it won't help a hamburger at all. If we leave the salt in the shaker, it won't help the good turnip greens at all. We need some salt in there. It preserves, and it also brings out the flavor of that. And I believe we need to be flavorful in the society in which we're living in today. Well, we help preserve society, and we cause flavor there. That let's face it, the world see our lives as Christians, say, what is different about that person? He's a little salty, isn't he? That's the approach that I take with that. Salt enhances the flavor. And if the salt has lost its savor, the Bible says, if the salt's lost its flavor, if the salt's lost its saltiness, if the salt has lost its benefit, Jesus said it ought to be cast out and trodden underfoot. Now, Dr. Phelps, I've got a very serious, profound question linked with that elongated introduction. Salt is talking about the believer, and the believers combined are the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if the body of Christ has failed to be salt, we're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's failed to be salt, Jesus said it's good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot. My question to you that I'd like for you to take a moment and help us with, could that be the possible reason we're witnessing the apostasy of the church today, the falling away? Is it possible that God is judging the church because we fail to come out of the shaker and to be preservative in society? What are your thoughts?
When I read in the book of the Revelation, Jesus speaks to the churches. And to each one of them, Jesus talked about something that did not please him. Mm-hmm. And they were rebuked. If the Lord were to rebuke me or you today, what would he say about our activity in this area of our study today? Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, and he said, let your light so shine before men. It seems that they're not seeing the light today. We need to be better witnesses for the Lord. And he went on to say that as Christians, we should walk in the light and serve him in this way. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead rather we're to let our light shine. Also, we're commanded in Ephesians chapter 5, be not therefore partakers with them. I think one of the problems we have today is that Christians are compromising and they're not being the light.
That's right.
They're not shining forth. It says, for we were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, not as children of darkness. So we're to shine as lights in a dark world. Let me read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul instructed Christians how to live. And this verse says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So we are to shine in this world, even though we're living in a perverse a society today.
Yes.
A society that has forgotten God. Society that has lost sight of the truth of the Word of God. And we need to let our lights shine. And so,
Dr. Phillips, let me jump in and ask a question. Verse 15, Jesus said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house." Explain that to us.
Yeah. Well, see, Christ is the light of the world. But he's not here now. Mm-hmm. He's in heaven. And Christians are here now, and we're to reflect that light to a lost world.
And if we are not doing that, it's synonymous with what Jesus says here, hiding it under a bushel. That means putting it in the closet, putting it under the bed. Certainly, if we are light, it's going to illumine those that are around us. I've used the illustration, Dr. Phelps, for less than 100 years now. You could take a 100,000-square-foot warehouse, open space, no lights at all, total darkness. You can stand in the very center of that building and strike a match, and though that light will be dim, it will still illumine that entire 100,000-square-foot warehouse. Yes. There would be a light. Yes. And so each believer, each Christian, needs to understand that we are a light. You might say, well, my light's pretty dim. Well, we need to, as a church, the body of Christ, all of our individuals that make up the body of Christ, we are to illumine the world of darkness that we're living in. But it goes back to my fundamental prerequisite statement. We're finding that most pastors are not willing to be the light. Most churches, the Christians, are unwilling to be the light. They think that somehow, some way, if we're saved, we just stay inside the church building and we're simply all right because we've said yes to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the beginning point. Once we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we're to be in the world influencing society with our light. That means with our words and our works, as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to confront darkness with light. We need to confront decay with salt. And if we are the salt and light, that means we're to get out of the shaker, we're to get into the world, and stop this stuff of saying, well, you know, we ought not to talk about politics because that's evil, wicked, and dirty. That's being in the world, the political world, but we're taking a stand as Christians. I believe Dr. Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Very good, very good, very good. Well, what I'm seeing in many circles, Dr. Youngblood, is a lot of fear in the church instead of faith. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because today Christians don't seem to know up from down, right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's only because they have compromised. I'm talking about those sometimes who were considered to be upstanding Christians have now compromised their faith in order to win friendship out of the world. And when we look at the scripture, it tells us to have friendship with the world is to be enemies with God. Now, if you want to be his enemy, you can have at it. I mean, you're not going to win that battle either way because you need God on your side. But when I look at the scripture, and I'm going to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And verse 14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings," 15, "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." So again, we're not seeing the light shining. We're not seeing the salt. Salt is supposed to change the taste, the flavor, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to enhance whatever it gets mixed up with. But that's not happening because so many Christians, and it's sad to say, and I say this with eyes full of tears, I just attended a funeral service on yesterday of a young man that had to be put away, and he was a sinner. But the preacher got up in the pulpit and some others in the church and started glorifying his life, and they turned around and started telling the audience, be careful not to judge anyone. You don't know how this person's life was. Yes, you do. Mm. Because if you're not seeing the fruit, the Bible says, you will tell the tree by the fruit it bears. If there are no Christian fruit being born in a person's life, then 9 times out of 10, basically, we can pretty much say that they're not a Christian. They're not living for God. They have not given their life over to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So Dr. Davis, I've historically said where there's no fruit, there's no root.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So my thing was, I began to reach out to those at that service and tell them something similar to the title of one of your books. Please don't go to hell. Mm-hmm. Because there is a devil's hell right there waiting for you if you don't get your life right with God. Even Christians, we have to understand on today, when I look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Listen, I said this a long time ago. God got this. I mean, he doesn't need our help. When we put our lives, our souls into his hand, he's not going to lose anything. He said, those that my father has given me, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. So listen, when we know all of these things, the truth of scripture, as you teach each and every day on this program, we ought to live life a whole lot better than what we're living instead of compromising with this world. Because I don't know if they really realize it or not. Jesus is soon to come. He may crack the sky at any day. And he says, where I find you, I'm going to appoint you your portion. So I don't know if you want a good portion or not, but you better get with Jesus.
Amen. That's well stated, Dr. Davis. Before we let you go, let me wrap up with a thought for our listeners, and then Dr. Phelps will respond to that. When I think of a light, I never will forget, less than 100 years ago, one of our daughter-in-laws, they married to my oldest son, Gene Jr., that's now with Jesus. But she was driving the car one day, her car, and a light kept blinking on the dash. And her question to our son was, can't we just cut that wire loose and it stop that blinking? A light comes on the dash because it's warning of danger. A light is a directional light. You gotta go to a stop sign. That's a red light. That means stop. You will be,
amen.
During the wintertime in some parts of the nation, there are lights flashing on a bridge. It says, ice ahead, ice ahead. It's a warning light. A light can be an emergency light. You have those emergency vehicles coming through with the lights blinking. That's emergency. So as I think of that, I think of the fact that we're supposed to be the light of the world. That means we're to warn of danger. We're to give direction and insight in the Word of God. We're to warn of danger ahead, emergency. We're to talk about that which is taking place biblically, theologically, and doctrinally, and why people should be understanding what our position is and what our responsibilities are as Christians. And to go back to the fundamentals, as Christians, we're to be a preservative in society. As Christians, we're to be a directional light in the world. And Dr. Davis, I'm thankful for you and for your call. Thank you so much for participating today, and I'm prayerful that your journey back to your home would be safe. And so thank you again for calling. God bless you. Dr. Phelps, again, when I think about this being a light, if the light is hidden, if the light stays in the closet, if the light is not illuminating outside the doors of the church, what value is it? I think that there's a need today for Christians to understand we're saved not by works, but we're saved, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, to do good works. And part of that good works, as I see it, is to be salt and to be light. What say you?
That is so true. We're saved to serve the Lord, and to allow the light of Christ to shine Amen. Through us. Mm-hmm. You see, we are instructed to shine as lights and to share the word of life. For the light of the glorious gospel of Christ dispels the darkness in those who gladly hear and heed God's offer of salvation. Now, I want to say today that if you think about who you are as a Christian, you are, and I am, an ambassador for Christ.
That's right.
We are telling people something about Christ by the way that we behave. As a believer in Christ, I'm an ambassador for Christ with the privilege and the responsibility of fulfilling the Great Commission to go and tell the good news. I'm given the ministry of reconciliation, as Paul wrote about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he says that to us is committed the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God or Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. We live in a world that needs to be reconciled to God.
That's right.
They are lost. People need to have a living and loving relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only possible as we share the ministry of the gospel of peace to them. So the aim of the gospel is that people might be reconciled to God. Listen again to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So we have a new ministry to think about today. We are assigned a new ministry as ambassadors for Christ, to whom God has committed the glorious gospel of Christ. We have been entrusted with a treasure, and it's the glorious gospel of Christ. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, who invites lost people to come to Him. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, He spoke these words to the disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So we're called by Christ to be witnesses.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To be witnesses. And so we find that along with the commandment to go, that we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And so that means along with God's commandment to go with the gospel, we have God's enablement by the Holy Spirit. And we should consider this as God has spoken to us about it. We don't go in our own energy or power. We need to allow God to work through us and through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Hold your thought there for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today an issue, where is the salt and light? Do you have salt? Do you have light? Do you recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not optional if we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? And as Dr. Phelps is just talking about being light, going out witnessing in the world, our light needs to shine. And there are multitudes, Dr. Phelps, today that do not understand as perhaps we do, or to the depth perhaps as we do, about what we need to do. So therefore, those that are saved should be a light illuminating the pathway of those that we go before, that others can follow, that they can mimic the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, of being salt and light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," in John 8:12. And then in Matthew 5, verse 13 and following, he says, "Ye, That is, me and you, we are the light of the world. And so what does it mean? That he is the greater light, we're the lesser light, and we're to, as you said a moment ago, in Jesus' place, we're to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, let our light so shine before men. The light shining before, the word before is the word pros, in front of. So our light should illumine those that are around us that they might see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're not doing that, ladies and gentlemen, we're not salt and light. And the scripture says if your light is hidden, it is worthless. If your salt has lost its savor, that is, it's not salty, it needs to be cast out and trodden underfoot. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, are you salt and light? Are you actively involved in sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? And secondarily, not secondary in its process of importance, but are you willing to take a stand in a decaying society? Are you willing to say LGBTQ sodomite agenda is ungodly? Are you willing to say to a lost, dead, dying, darkened world and to those about you that the use of marijuana of whatever type or size or amount, et cetera, is wrong and ought not to be? Are you willing to say to a world that's about us that abortion is murder? Are you willing to say to a world that's about us that the DEI agenda is wrong and is ungodly and unholy? Are we willing, ladies and gentlemen, to take a stand for truth and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Dr. Phelps, we've got a couple of minutes. If you would take a moment and wrap up the thought that we want our listeners to understand today.
In the Christian life, we need to be cooperating or working together with God in this matter of being the light or being witnesses.
And no compromise.
No compromise. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are co-laborers in the glorious gospel ministry, and so that we are partnershiping with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whatever we do, we must allow the Lord to lead us and help us and enable us. I think sometimes we forget that we need to be cooperating with God. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be a mutual cooperation, because he is the one who enables us to shine. A lamp, in the days that I was growing up, we had an Aladdin lamp in the kitchen that would light the whole room. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty good kind of light, but it required oil.
Right.
And unless you and I have the oil, which refers to the Spirit of God, we cannot shine.
Amen.
We need to be cooperating with God in this matter of Christian living.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, one final time as we go off the air today. You are the salt of the earth. But if you have lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot of men. I'm prayerful today that you are salt and light. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air, as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.